Galatians 1. I would like for us to look at the first five verses of Galatians 1 this morning. And what I want us to see in these verses is the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel. Now, before we look at these, let's ask this question. What is the gospel? All right, we're about to look at the good news of the gospel, but before we do, this is a very important question. What is the gospel? The gospel is the declaration of Jesus Christ. It is the announcement of Jesus Christ. When those angels came to those shepherds in the field and made the announcement, they were preaching the gospel. If a man is preaching the gospel, that man is preaching Jesus Christ. If a man is truly declaring the facts about Jesus Christ, not self-help things and not how to be better family men and not all those things. If a man is declaring the truth about Jesus Christ, that man is preaching the gospel. You can't talk about the gospel without talking about Christ. If you're not talking about Christ, you're not talking about the gospel. There are many truths that we can talk about. Truths. Many things that we could talk about and be talking about the truth. But we're not talking about the gospel until we're talking about Christ. So, let's talk about Christ for a little while. That's the goal. We're going to talk about Christ for just a little while. In these five verses, I'd like for us to see what Christ did, who Christ did it for, why Christ did it, by whose authority Christ did it, and what is Christ owed in return. Those five things, that's what we're going to look at. What Christ did, who Christ did it for, why Christ did it, by whose authority Christ did it, and what is Christ owed in return. The Apostle Paul begins in verse 1 by telling us what qualifies him to declare this to us. All right, he's verse 1, he said, Paul, an apostle. The word apostle means delegate, ambassador, commissioner. It means messenger. The actual translation is one who is sent. All right? What he's saying is, I'm going to tell you something. I'm about to tell you something. And this is coming straight from the mouth of God Himself. When He said an apostle, that's what He was saying. This is coming straight from the mouth of God Himself. This is a first-hand declaration. This is not second-hand, possibly skewed information. This is directly from God to you. He said in verse 11, if you look down there, he said, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I didn't receive it by any man. I was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ Himself. Look with me over at Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. It says, and Saul, who is Paul, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, meaning of Christ, following Christ, following his word, believing on him, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. What was that light? It was Jesus Christ's face. Verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Just seeing the Lord Jesus Christ's face blinded him for 3 days. And while he was blinded, God sent this man Ananias to him to preach to him. Verse 17 says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he which destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He had first-hand experience. This is the Christ. This is the Christ. Look with me at Acts 18. This is when the Apostle Paul was in Corinth, and he realized his calling to be a preacher to the Gentiles. Acts 18, verse 7 says, and he departed thence, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. He spoke to him. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. The Lord spoke directly to him. Look at Acts 23. Verse 11, It says, in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. The Lord stood right there next to him and spoke to him. And Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, after the Lord's resurrection, he was seen of Peter, and then of James, and then of all the apostles. And he said, last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. And he said in 2 Corinthians 12, I was literally caught up into the third heaven. And I heard things. What did he hear? He heard the gospel directly from the mouth of Jesus Christ. So he begins our text back in Galatians 1 by saying, this is first-hand information and you can believe every word of it. It's coming directly from the mouth of Christ himself. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle, a messenger sent with a message, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Verse 2, he says, this letter is coming from me and all the brethren which are with me, all who have been called into this brotherhood and sisterhood, all who have been called to be a part of God's family. He said, that's who this letter is coming from. That's who the letter is to. Verse 2, all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. He said, I'm not writing to every soul in the region of Galatia. I'm writing to God's churches. He was writing to the saints. Writing to the faithful brethren in Christ, those who have been filled with the faith of Christ. God calls them his elect, his chosen, his separated, called out people. Paul said, that's who I'm writing to, and that's who I am. Thank God I'm one of them. In verse 13, he said, for you have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, and this is how it works, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. When it pleased God to do that, it was done. I was separated. I was called. I saw Christ. And what I saw leads me to say with all confidence, he said in verse 3, if you look back at verse 3, he said, grace be to you. And peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message of the gospel. That is the message of the gospel. From God our Father, through Christ our Lord, grace be to you. That was the message of Peter. That was the message of all the apostles. Grace. Grace. Salvation by grace. Free gift. That is the announcement of the gospel. It's free. That's the announcement of the gospel. It's free. People come wondering, what must I do? What must I give? What must I give up? How much money do I need to bring? It's free. It's free. It's grace. It's all free. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Free gift, grace. That's the announcement. It's free. Look with me at Acts chapter 15. Acts 15, verse 1, it says, "Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved." A lot of men say things like that. Well, unless you do this, you can't be saved. Paul and Barnabas said, that's not right. That's not so. Verse 2, "When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" They came up to Him and they said, they're saying, if you don't do this or if you don't do that, you can't be saved. And Peter stood up and said, "Our fathers who had this law, there was a yoke of bondage on them, and they weren't able to bear it, and we're not able to bear it either. No sinner on this earth can bear the bondage of the law." Verse 11, he said, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." He said, that's it. That settles it. That is the announcement of the gospel. Salvation by grace. Through faith. That not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Paul is going to very clearly explain that gift in our text. Go back to Galatians 1. Verse 1 says, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Now he tells us very clearly what Christ did. Verse 4 says, "Who gave Himself." Those are three simple words, aren't they? Three simple words, but how great is the meaning of them. He said, "Who?" Who did this? Our Lord Jesus Christ did this. Our Lord Jesus Christ did this. The God-man, the spotless one, the Holy One, the Eternal One. Jesus Christ the Lord did this. What did He do? Verse 4 says, who gave? He gave. That's what He did. He gave. What did Christ do? He gave. He didn't loan. There's a difference in loaning something and giving something. He didn't offer. He gave. He willingly, voluntarily, freely, faithfully, completely. He gave. What did He give? Verse 4 says, Himself. He didn't just give His things. I'm sure there were a lot of things He could have given. Think about all the things our Lord could have given to people while He walked this earth. Money? He never gave anybody money. One time He told one of the apostles, you go fishing, there's going to be a coin in the fish's mouth. It's the exact amount of money we need to pay our taxes. He didn't give anybody houses. Never had one of His own. He did not give His things. He did not just give His time. He didn't just merely give a payment. He gave Himself. Christ willingly, freely, lovingly gave Himself. Who did He do that for? Who did Christ give Himself for? Verse 4 says, who gave Himself for our sins. He did that for sinners. He did that for sinners. Not the obedient ones. What do you need to do to go to heaven? Well, you know, you better start obeying. Not the obedient ones. He did it for sinners. Not the good ones, sinners. Not the worthy or the righteous, sinners. Those who honestly cannot say anything about what they see in themselves except, I'm a sinner. And that's very few people. But some, honestly, when they look at themselves, all they can say about what they see is, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Don't turn, you know this well, but over in Romans 5, it says that God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The Apostle Paul said, I'm telling you from firsthand experience, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he said, I'm glad he did because I'm the chief. Are you a sinner? Just think about that for a minute. Are you a sinner? And a sinner in the way that the Scripture calls us sinners. Filthy, rotten, no good, head to toe, complete, total sinner. Are you a sinner? If you are like I am, this ought to be wonderful news to us. Look with me back at Galatians 1. It says, what did Christ do? He gave Himself. Who did Christ do it for? He did it for sinners. Verse 4 says, who gave Himself for our sins. Now, why did Christ do that? Verse 4 says, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. That He, not us, He didn't give Himself as a sacrifice for our sin on that cross. To make deliverance possible, to make salvation possible for us to secure ourselves. He didn't do that. He didn't take the first step so we could take the second step and deliver ourselves. He didn't show us how to deliver ourselves if we'll just follow that example. He delivered us. He said, "For this cause came I into the world." He came to give His life a ransom. That means a payment in full for many. Every chosen sinner His Father gave to Him. Verse 4 says, "Who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world." What does that mean, this present evil world? It means He came to deliver us from ourselves. We are the world. We are the world. They got that right. Yeah, we sure are. We are the world. He came to deliver us from our own fall. He came to deliver us from the curse and the condemnation. Over in Galatians 3, it says in verse 10, "As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." If we cannot fulfill all the law, we're going to be cursed. Verse 11 says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It's evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. And back in chapter 1, by whose authority did Christ do this? The end of verse 4 says, "Christ did it according to the will of God and our Father." It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. That was the will of God for Him. Not one sinner will ever be saved except by the will and the purpose and the authority of God Himself. Salvation's of the Lord. This was the will of the Father who sent Christ. It was that every soul that He had given to Christ, Christ should lose none of them, but should give His life for them and raise them up at the last day. Christ said to His Father, "I delight to do Thy will. Every soul You've given me, I've kept. None of them is lost." So what did Christ do? He gave Himself. Who did Christ do that for? He did it for sinners like you and me. He gave Himself for our sins. Why did Christ do that? That He might deliver us from this present evil world. Whose will and authority did Christ do that on? He did it according to the will of God and our Father. Not my will, not your will. His will. "Of His own will begat He us through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Now here's our last question. What is Christ owed for all of that in return? Verse 5 says, "To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. All of the glory. All of the glory. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. That's the wonderful news of the gospel of Christ. Now may God give us faith to believe it. All right, let's all stand together.